Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Praise God. I'm glad that you've joined us today. And for those of you who are regular viewers of our program, you'll recognize that we've got a brand new set. I've announced this during our teaching that I did for, I think it was 6 weeks on Christian philosophy, or it might have even been longer than that. And we were taping up at our lodge at the new property, and we were doing that because we were in the process of building this new set. So here is a portion of it. We've still got more to go. What this is going to allow me to do is to start doing interviews. I tell you, we've got so many awesome things happening in our Bible school, and there's people that I'd love to interview. And our other set was set that if I moved in more than a foot in any direction, all of the lighting had to be totally changed. We just got started on a shoestring 13 years ago, and praise God, we finally updated our set, and we're going to start being able to do all kinds of new things. Also, let me announce that it was just in September that we finally got to work on our new property at the sanctuary in Woodland Park, which is a major deal. We actually had a groundbreaking, but September they actually started turning dirt. We are now in the process of building this facility, and we're going to build it in two stages. We're building this barn, first of all, that I call it a barn. It's a 90,000 square foot building. It's going to have over 23 classrooms in the lower portion, a 500-seat auditorium, a 400-seat auditorium, and a 1,500-seat auditorium upstairs with a kitchen area that we'll be able to feed thousands of people. And this will be the first stage of our new development. That's planned to be completed in somewhere around 14, 15 months. And then after we get moved up there and start having our classes up there, we will start on the main construction of our auditorium. It'll be a 2,500-seat auditorium. Altogether, it's going to be about a 220,000-square-foot facility that will enable us to expand our Bible college. You know, we still don't have the figures at the time I'm taping this program, but we were just totally maxed out on the beginning of our school in September here, 2012. And I mean, we just had people everywhere, and we must have this new facility. And praise God, thanks to all of you who are helping us to do that. Also, thanks to all of you who helped us to design this new set. Some people see this as a luxury, but you know, I really believe it's going to enable me to do interviews with people and to do things that in the past we couldn't do. I could spend a lot of time sharing all the technicalities with you, but I think after 13 years of using an $8,000 set that served us well and was a blessing, it was just time to upgrade it, and I believe it's going to help us to reach many, many more people. So yesterday I started talking about this new teaching that I've got entitled How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. And yesterday I basically was just trying to give the justification for this. A lot of people don't realize how negative our world is, how critical it is of everything. And we are a generation that is unlike any other generation of Christians that have ever existed, in the sense that we have the news of this world piped into our home, on our telephones, on all of your devices and stuff, and you 24 hours a day are being bombarded by all of the negative things that are happening. They don't tell you about the thousands of planes that land safely. They tell you about the one that crashed. They don't tell you about all of the millions of events where there are millions and millions of people together, and they gather together and everything's just fine. They'll tell you if there's a riot. They'll tell you if somebody came in and shot and if somebody was killed. And I understand the logic behind all that, but I'm saying that we don't get told all of the good news. There are so many awesome things happening. God is moving in a powerful way, but if you are just fed a steady diet of all of the negative things that are going on, then I guarantee you it will cause you to be negative. It will cause you to be depressed. I actually have said this before, that if you aren't depressed, you aren't paying attention, unless you are specifically taking the Word of God and countering this negativism. Yesterday, as we started this program, I shared what Jesus said. He was talking about the end times. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, He said that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He didn't say that the love of just a few, or it's possible that this could happen. He said that this would be one of the signs of the end time, that because iniquity abounds, that the love of many will wax cold. I don't believe that it is destined, that it has to happen to you, but I'm saying that this is the normal. This is the way that the vast majority of believers are going, because we are in a society that I believe iniquity is abounding, but then it's being pumped into your home and you're being fed a steady diet of it. And if you aren't careful, this is going to cause your heart to become cold and insensitive. You're going to be discouraged instead of encouraged. You're going to have doubt instead of faith. And it takes effort to be able to counter this. You know, over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, there's just so many places in Scripture that says this exact same thing, talks about how to counter all this negativism. But in Hebrews chapter 12, right after he had talked about all of these great men and women of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, many people call it the Hebrews Hall of Fame, or the Heroes of Faith. And it's all of these people who did these incredible exploits in the midst of terrible situations. And then he comes back in chapter 12 and he says, wherefore, that links it to all of these things that he was saying about these great men and women who've gone before us. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Boy, these are powerful things that are being said. If you aren't considering Jesus, the word consider means to study, ponder, deliberate, examine, or focus on, meditate. If you aren't focused upon Jesus, then it says you will become weary and faint in your mind. Notice where our weariness and our fainting comes from. It's from the way we think. I used these verses yesterday, but Isaiah 26:3 says that the Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him because he trusts in him. If you don't have peace, it's because your thinking is wrong. You may not be thinking, I want to be depressed. I want to be discouraged. You may have good intentions, but you are allowing this world and the negativism of this world to come in and influence you and affect you. And the only antidote for that is that you have to consider, study, ponder, deliberate, examine, focus upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, or you will be wearied and you will faint in your mind. That's just what the Scripture says. There's no other option. And again, I'm saying this to people who live in a society and in a generation in this information age where we pay people big bucks to have all of this negative news and negative stuff pumped into our home. I get emails all of the time from people who talk about that they woke up in the middle of the night and heard me on television because they leave their television on all of the time just to have the noise going on. You know, I'm on television. I am not against television, but I'm telling you, there is a bunch of trash on television. There is a bunch of negative stuff on television. You got more than enough problems without having all of these other problems of other people and the other problems of the world pumped into your home. And with our technology today, you can have the problems on the other side of this world instantly portrayed before you. You can feel the exact same things. Did you know previous generations didn't know this? Even when I was in Vietnam, did you know it took over 2 weeks for news of what was happening to come to Vietnam? I know some of you that are younger may think it couldn't be so, but I'm telling you that, you know, when Nixon sent the troops into Laos, we heard about that because we were there and there were some of our troops that were going in there. And over in Vietnam, people thought this was wonderful because from where I was, you could see the trucks, these deuce and a halfs, driving down the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and they were bringing ammunition and soldiers and things like this that were going to be fighting against us and killing some of our fellow soldiers. And we could see them, but they were off limits. They were across the line, and you couldn't fire at them, and they just had freedom to do whatever they wanted to. And I remember when they finally sent some troops into Laos to intervene and to deal with this. Everybody, every single person that I was aware of in Vietnam cheered and shouted like, man, this is awesome, because finally we're going to quit playing games. We're going to get in here and we're going to fight and we're going to win this war and we're going to go home. But 2 weeks later, it was about 2 weeks later, then we heard about the Kent State riots and about the people that had been killed and about how that the anti-war movement responded to this move. And it was 2 weeks and something later. And I tell you, until we heard the fact that we didn't have the support of the people back home and stuff, until then, everybody was optimistic. Everybody was excited. I mean, there was actually joy among the people because we thought, finally, we've taken the restraints off. We're going to get this job done and we're going to win. And then 2 weeks later, you hear this and immediately everybody's attitude changed when you realize that, man, we were now vilified. People came home from Vietnam and they had to change out of their military stuff and wear civilian clothing because you could be spit upon and criticized and all these kind of things. You know, back in the, it was a different day. It took 2 weeks to even hear about things. Previous generations, it could have taken a month or more before they heard about the things that had happened on the other side of the world. And much of this stuff was never reported. And certainly all of the dire predictions about everything that was going to happen, those things didn't happen. And by the time they got to you and is a month and two old, you know what? You'd been already proven that those things were wrong. And it was just a different day and age. I believe it was actually easier to stay positive in those days because we weren't just inundated with that. But we live in a day and age where I guarantee you, you have to put your head in the sand to keep from hearing all of the terrible things that are going on, all of the people that are doing these bad, bad things. I mean, it is just, we're inundated with it. And this verse says that we have to focus, consider Jesus and focus on Him, or you will become weary and you will faint in your mind. And there's people watching this program right now that you may not have used these terminologies, you may not have looked at it this way, but you know what? This is exactly what's happened to you. You're weary. You're weary. You're trying to do the right thing. You're believing for change in your personal life, in your nation, in your circumstances. And yet, just contrary to that, you are constantly bombarded with all of the negativism of this world. And you are weary. You're frustrated. And in your own mind, you're fainting. There are thoughts of giving up. What's the use? Why do we even do this? You know why all of this is happening? People say, well, it's because things are so bad. No, it's because you aren't considering Jesus. You aren't focused upon Jesus only. You know, if you'll back up into the second verse, I already read this, but in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is a great key right here. This tells us how Jesus was able to endure the cross and despise the shame. If you look that word up in the Greek, it literally means to disesteem, to devalue. He devalued all of the suffering. And the way He was able to endure the cross, the pain and the suffering of the cross, the humiliation, the mocking, the rejection, and even the rejection by His own Father, who He loved with all of His heart, His own Father turned away and He had to cry out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? How was Jesus able to do those things? You know, a lot of people just write this off as, well, He was God. But Jesus was also man. It says that He, in Hebrews chapter 4, I believe it is, it says He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus had every temptation. He had flesh. He did not want to die. He did not want to suffer mocking and humiliation. And when you add to this the fact, you know, like that song that we've often sung, that He could have called 10,000 angels. Jesus did not have to do this. It's not like He was powerless and there was no option, and so He just had to put up with this. Jesus could have come down from that cross at any time. Jesus could have called for 10,000 angels. When they mocked him and said, prophesy if you're the Christ, who is it that struck you? He could have told them things that would have brought every single person to their knees. Jesus had absolute power and authority to change that situation, and yet he voluntarily went through this because it was the only way to forgive you and me. We couldn't pay for our own sins. He had to pay for it. He had to bear it. And so he voluntarily submitted. How could he go against his own natural feelings of self-preservation and wanting to justify himself and stand against those who were mocking him? The scripture right here says, for the joy that was set before him. Let me just point out that if Jesus would have thought the way that most of us thought, Jesus would never have been able to endure the cross and despise the shame and come out victorious on the other side. The way you think about situations determines your outcome. If Jesus would have thought like you and I have been trained to think, and if he would have only thought about, this is unfair what they're doing to me. I'm their creator. They're mocking me. They are saying that I'm powerless. They're saying, if you really have any power, display it. If he would have thought about us, and if it would have been just himself that he was thinking about, I guarantee you, he would never have submitted to all of this. He would have exercised that power. But the way he was able to do it, it says, for the joy that was set before him. You know what this is saying? That Jesus drew on the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he was able to see past the cross. He was able to see that he would rise again, that he would bring redemption to people. I really believe that Jesus looked down through eternity and saw the millions and the billions of people's lives that were going to be set free and changed because of what he endured. He saw you and he saw me. He saw people who were just totally hopeless without him, and he saw our lives changed. And because of that, that's what enabled him to stay positive, to stay in faith, to stay the course, and to do what God called him to do. You know, if he would have thought the way you and I thought, and if he would have just been thinking about himself and looking at the moment and thinking about the hurt and the pain and the suffering, if he hadn't have looked past that and have seen the end result, he couldn't have endured this. This is saying that this is the way he endured, is because he, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And there's a lesson in this for us, that we have to do the same thing. We live in a fallen world. Sin is abounding. There is a spirit of Antichrist. There is ungodly things going on. And as I've pointed out already, all of this ungodliness is being amplified and magnified by our news media that just crams it down our throat. And so we even have a skewed impression about it, and it even has more of an impact than just what it should without all of this emphasis. We are living in the midst of a negative world, and if you focus on those things, you will become overwhelmed with frustration. You will become weary. You will faint in your mind. You are going to have to look past all of the junk that you're hearing about, and you're going to have to recognize that despite all of this stuff, where sin abounds, grace abounds greater. That regardless of how ungodly some people are and how these things are going, that there is awesome things happening. There are more people coming alive to the things of God and being touched by the Spirit of God than have ever happened in the history of the world. You will often hear people talk about how Muslims are increasing in other religions and stuff like that. And they will talk about this, but this fact remains that Christianity is still the dominant influence on the face of the earth. There are more people converting to Christianity at a greater percentage and a greater rate than any other religion on the face of the earth. You know, a good friend of mine, Arthur Blessett, he's the guy that carries the cross. I imagine most of you have heard of him or seen him. And Arthur Blessett has walked and carried that cross in every nation of the world. I forget exactly how many nations that is, but 190-something, 200, whatever it is. He's been in every nation, every people group. He's been in war zones talking about all of the wonderful things and how that in the darkest place on the face of the earth, the place where there had people had never heard of Jesus before, he would walk in with the cross and people would just fall down and receive Jesus and be set free. And he was sharing about how that, man, it's the greatest day for preaching the gospel that there ever is. He's been to the darkest places on the earth, and where it's dark, the light shines brighter. I'm telling you, we've got a lot of things to be positive about, but you are going to have to be like Jesus. You're going to have to focus on the good things. You're going to have to hear these good reports about what God is doing. And just like Jesus, you have to focus on the joy that is set before you. You have to focus on the fact that we win, regardless of how bad ungodliness comes, regardless of what happens. Even if the doctor tells you you're going to die, I believe in healing, and I believe that you can be well. And we see great miracles, and you do not have to put up with sickness and disease. But you know what? If nothing else, look past this physical life. And we have been promised that if we are absent from the body, we are instantly present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you are going to be in the presence of the Lord where there is no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness, no more disease. And if you can look past your immediate situation, even if you don't see the deliverance right here, you are going to live in eternity and under the blessing of God, in the presence of God, and you've got nothing to gripe and complain about. See, if you could be like Jesus, and for the joy that is set before you, he had a lot of suffering to go through, but man, there was going to be infinite joy after he rose from the dead. Likewise, regardless of what you're going through, you can win in this life, and even if you don't win here, you're going to win in eternity. You can't lose for winning. And if you would do that and consider Jesus the author and the finisher of your faith, then you would not be weary and you would not faint in your mind. I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm saying it to point things out. People just feel hopeless. They feel helpless. Like, how could I be any other way? I'm telling you, if you would focus on the Lord, get hold of these promises and see all of the good things that God is doing, you can become positive. You can operate in faith. You can have joy. You can have enthusiasm, even in the midst of terrible, terrible, terrible situations. I believe that with all of my heart. And that's what this teaching is all about, is how to stay positive in the midst of a negative world. And I tell you, we need this. I've got some teaching on this. I've got a DVD set that was recorded live at a meeting in Phoenix, Arizona. I've also got a DVD set that was taken from our television programs. And then we have a CD set where I teach through this. And I tell you, it's something that could really impact your life. If you feel like you are being influenced by all of this negativeness, you need to get these teachings, and I believe they'd help you. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you some information. Please call or write today and join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
I have never had such good teaching, and I have been to Bible schools, Bible colleges. I graduated from a Christian high school. Nobody teaches like these here. You know why? Because they teach you to know Jesus.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994, and we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed, and phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Stay Positive in a Negative World is available on either CD or DVD as seen on TV. Or you can get the DVD recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar. Each is available for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World, Part 1. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Christian Philosophy for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 8th through the 10th, at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth on Sunday, November 11th, in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 3rd through the 5th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance January 17th through the 19th. He'll also be in Humble and San Antonio, Texas for special one-night-only Gospel Truth rallies January 24th and 26th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
In 2006, there was the mortgage implosion. All those subprime mortgage lenders started going belly up.
And the economy then crashed, and we were one of the first areas to get hit hard.
The banks that I had, 9 or 10 banks, they all collapsed and closed their doors the same week. And I had well over $1 million worth of loans with those banks. All my commissions that I drew from were evaporated. I had no money saved.
Everything that we had had and everything that we had, we were lavishing in, literally was just pulled from under us overnight.
To see the full miraculous story, log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Then click on Today's TV News Story. Find out what's happening to the world changers at Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today.